consulting the pros who've been addressing labor shortages for years. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Amid the persistent shortage of workers in America, we've been looking at a remote part of the country that has long experience dealing creatively with finding people to hire. Today, as part of our series, A Hot Job Market Where It's Cold as Hell, Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell goes to where they make Polaris snowmobiles.
The first Polaris snowmobile was built by David Johnson in 1956. He was one of the three co-founders of Polaris in the snowy town of Roseau, Minnesota. Here's Mike Atteen. His dad was one of the founders.
That was a way to get out to hunting camp. And he said, we did that because I'm basically a lazy person. I didn't want to snowshoe all that far.
We met at the Polaris Experience Center in Roseau, where he looked at the company's second snowmobile, built by Mike's father, Alan.
The skis are made out of car bumpers, the steering wheel, steering columns out of a Model T.
Stories like these are common in this remote rural area. When opportunities in agriculture declined with the rise of mechanization, local entrepreneurs pursued other business opportunities.
And they became an entrepreneur, not by plan, but by being able to solve problems. And I think that's what you see with each one of the large manufacturers up in northwest Minnesota.
The region's anchor companies were started by local entrepreneurs in small towns. Digi Key in Thief River Falls. Central Boiler in Greenbush. Marvin Windows in War Road. Polaris in Roseau. These anchor companies own multiple locations elsewhere today. Publicly traded Polaris moved headquarters to a Twin Cities suburb. It still manufactures snowmobiles in Roseau. Seeing how remote these towns are and how long the winters, there's something of a mystery why the founding entrepreneurs and their successors didn't leave. But they stayed, and recent trends suggest there may be good reasons to remain, especially considering the region's skilled workforce. Richard Florida is a professor of management and author of The Rise of the Creative Class.
Globalization has shown that it brings with it certain problems or fragilities. And so I think we're going to be on a course of reshoring and rebuilding and using technology to rebuild our manufacturing heartland. And I think that's going to mean that we're going to do more of this. What you're seeing in Minnesota is going to expand.
The big threat to growth is the lack of affordable housing for workers and their families, as well as too little childcare. These are problems across much of America, but are especially difficult here. Business and civic leaders in northern Minnesota are partnering to ease these bottlenecks to growth.
You know, we're really trying to work together in our community, you know, to solve for the things that, you know, basic necessities, you know, living, places to live in order to enjoy not only our community, but the many open jobs that we have here.
Brenda Bauman heads the Discovery and Development Hub in War Road, an entrepreneurial resource base for startups.
Not going to be easy, but we're ready to do all that we can, you know, to show people what a great place War Road is to be.
There's much to be done to build a more welcoming and affordable community for newcomers, but the energy focused on addressing the problem here is impressive.
That's Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell. All the stories in our series can be streamed now from marketplace.org. Hiring remains strong in America, and we're also here to tell you today that real estate is doing much better. Real estate? Question mark, exclamation point, question mark. Many a Friday, we consult Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Howdy.
Good morning, David.
This late in this cycle of raising interest rates, you think the real estate market would have been destroyed. That's not what you're saying.
No, it should be on its knees. Mortgage rates are stubbornly close to 7%. They've been there since last October. And remember, that's up from less than 3% at the lows in 2001. And housing was, for 8 consecutive quarters, a drag on growth because, home builders don't build as many when they can't sell as many. But in the last few months, really since January, home sales have bottomed and slowly begun to rise. And they've risen enough that in May, we had a spectacular increase in housing starts. It's big enough that we're going to see the first positive contribution to GDP growth from housing in 2 years.
It's exciting from the perspective of the entire economy, but also exciting for people who need a place to live and for people looking for affordable housing. As you increase supply, that can help.
Well, that's right. And, you know, one of the reasons housing is recovering so quickly is that we're coming off of record low levels of houses on the market. And, of course, a significant squeeze in rental units available as well. That's one of the reasons rents are rising faster than almost any other prices in the CPI.
I mean, I hate to drop this into the note of optimism you've shared with us, but may I say these two words, commercial real estate? I mean, how many pieces do we have to listen to about risks there these days?
Well, that's right. The real estate market is certainly not uniform right now. Residential doing really well, but I don't even want to talk about office space.
Christopher Lowe, Chief Economist, FHN Financial. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.